service. Now would be a great time if you have your program to find your sermon outline, if you want to follow along on that little piece of paper that says sermon outline, or if you want to follow along electronically and you've got the Bible app of YouVersion, you click on live events, find ACC, and you can follow along there. And we're going to be back this morning in Ephesians chapter 4, so if you still have that mark from last week, you'll be ready to go. Otherwise, if you want to find that, if you don't have a Bible with you, again, you're welcome to grab one from the chair in front of you and use that as we go along today. We're in this series that we're calling Words with Friends, and we're talking about the language and the words that we use to speak and to communicate with each other. And I would just share with you that if I had a subtitle for the message today, the subtitle for the message would be, Would Your Mouth Feel at Home on the Range? Would your mouth feel at home on the range? I've asked several people or mentioned to it, and they're kind of like, what is that? Well, I chose that as a subtitle because when I was growing up, there was a song that my dad used to sing to us called Home on the Range. And it went a little bit like this. Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. Now we're going to stop there because we want to go on. But we're going to stop there. Would your mouth be at home on the range, where seldom is heard a discouraging word? And I'm wondering this morning, does that statement describe the current condition of both how and what you speak? See, those that adhere to the teachings of Christ would know that that needs to become our priority, where seldom is heard a discouraging word. Now, before we jump into where we're going to look at today, I want to just do a quick review to make sure we're tracking with where we've been going so far. We started out the first week reminding ourselves that words are powerful. Words can build you up. Words can tear you down. They can start a fire in your heart. They can just as easily put it out. Words are powerful. We learned from Pastor Dave that words begin in the heart. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And so if we want to change the things that we're saying, sometimes we need to take a look at what's in our heart. Last week, we paused to take a look at the fact that words must be truthful. We're to speak the truth, but we need to make sure that the delivery of that truth is always in love. And really overarching what we've tried to decide or make sure we understand is that really, our words, because they're powerful and all those things, really need to be filtered. We need to make sure we have a filter over the words that we speak. Now, the filter that I've been challenging you and myself to apply to our words is pretty easy to remember. All we're asking is that you just take a moment or two to think before you speak. To think before you speak. And take that word think and just kind of break it apart real easily and ask yourself these questions. Filter your words through these questions. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? Now, last week, you remember, we kind of focused on the very first aspect of that filter. Is it true? Today, we're actually going to look at three of the others. The ones that would say, is it helpful? Is it inspiring? And is it kind? That's what we're really going to be focusing on today. Next week, we're going to take a look at, is it necessary? So if I would title today's message, I would title it, The Blessing of Words, because words really can be a blessing. The words that you and I speak can provide incredible blessing in the lives of other people. Have you ever known someone who maybe believed in you and who frequently spoke words of encouragement and praise? They were the kind of person that made you feel like you could do it, whatever it was. And that really is the kind of person that God wants us to be and how He wants us to use our words. I looked in a concordance this last week. Over 50 times in the Bible, we actually find the word encourage. And it's either as a description of how people were already treating each other, or it was instruction for how we should be treating each other. Now, why would God think that's such a priority? Well, because again, just as words are powerful, encouragement is such a powerful thing. And it's powerful because encouragement really goes straight to the heart. You know, the word itself comes from a combination of words, the prefix en, which means to put into, and the Latin root for cor, which means heart. What encouragement literally means is to put courage into the heart. And isn't that what encouragement does for you and I? All of us here this morning could probably describe a time, at least I hope we could, when our hearts got a little bit more courage because someone spoke some encouragement into our life. And it kind of helped us, so we didn't give up when times got a little bit rough. Or we didn't give up when the road seemed like it was taking us way too long. Well, knowing what a big difference encouragement makes in our own life, God would say to us, we all need to be asking, what can I do to help others take heart as well, to be encouraged so that they don't give up when the going gets tough and they don't give up when the way feels too long? So life sometimes is just not very easy, right? I mean, it gets hard, it gets difficult. And that's really why we've got to recognize that the majority of our words should be used to encourage. The majority of our words should be used to encourage. There is a time to speak rebuke. There is a time to speak the truth. But we're going to look at some scripture today that reminds us that the majority of our words should be used to encourage. When the Apostle Paul wrote his letter to the Christ followers in Ephesus that we looked at last week, he gave us some great guidelines. Remember the first three chapters, he told us really the doctrine, the way we're supposed to think. And then the last three chapters, beginning with chapter 4, he says, this is how you live that out. And really, he gives us a great guideline, which is basically saying that all of the words that we speak, as many of the words that we speak, should be of benefit and encouragement to those whom we're speaking. Now, if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We've got it up on the screen as well. But here's what Paul got to when he got to the last part of Ephesians chapter 4. This is what he says. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Every time I read that, it's convicting. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. When Paul was giving instructions to fellow Christians, just like us, about the words that they ought to be speaking, he says very clearly, don't let any unwholesome talk come out, but only what is helpful for building others up. Why is that so important? Again, going back, it's because words are so powerful. A number of years ago, the evangelist Bill Glass ask a group of about 1,000 inmates. He was speaking at a prison, and he asked them, how many of you had parents who told you that one day you'd end up in prison? He said nearly every hand went up. See, those parents spoke powerful words into the lives of their children that they eventually lived out. Now, why is it so important to encourage? Let me just remind you that God ultimately is the author of encouragement. God ultimately is the author of all encouragement. In fact, if you know anything about God, you know that he wants us to be encouraged. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, notice what it says. It says that everything that was written in the past, and really he was talking about the scriptures, especially the Old Testament, it was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement that they provide, we can have some hope. One of the reasons, one of the purposes behind God giving us his word was to be an encouragement to us. That's one of the reasons why I found that I need to spend time in the Bible almost every day in order to be encouraged so that I can keep my perspective about life where it needs to be, because my perspective sometimes keeps dropping off and I need to go back and find out what God says. And so I just want to remind you, this is just a small dab of what I would call some of God's encouraging scriptures that he wants to speak into our life to encourage us. One of those would be 1 John 5:13. Notice he says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you can know that you have eternal life. Man, what an encouragement. God's given us his word. We can know that we have eternal life. There's another one, Jeremiah 29:11. Most of you are familiar with that. But every time I read that, I get encouraged. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Now, I think I've shared this with you before. My favorite chapter in the Bible is Romans chapter 8. And it's hard to come up with a favorite chapter in the Bible because there's a lot of great chapters in the Bible. But Romans chapter 8 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible for a number of reasons, but honestly because of the incredible encouragement that it gives to me. I mean, it even starts out right at the very beginning in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. What does it say? It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Man, that's encouraging to me, because that means if I'm in Christ, I can stand in God's presence without ever having to fear one bit of condemnation if I am in Christ. Now, there's a lot of others, but obviously I've got to point out Romans 8, 28. Reminds us, it says, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. We need to make sure we read that verse carefully, because you notice it doesn't say that all things that happen to God followers are good. I mean, we experience difficulties and challenges as well, but God says, whatever you face, whatever you're going to go through, if you'll let me work through that, I can bring some good out of even those difficult circumstances. That's why I just want to remind you, this book, the Bible, is not just a bunch of positive thinking, but it is the encouragement that I need and that I can receive by believing in a God who can deliver all of this and even more. And again, that's just why I would want to say to you, that's why it's so important that you would spend some time every day in God's Word so that he can encourage you. And then you can use that encouragement to encourage others. So let's go back to Ephesians 4:29 and just look at it real simply. It says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And really, he says there are two actions, if we're going to speak words of blessing to others, two actions that we need to take. First of all, he literally says, stop the negative. Literally, stop the negative. Notice the instruction. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Now, what I've discovered in my own life and as I've watched other people, this is obviously easier said than done. Because if it was easy, we would all be experts at it, wouldn't we? And we're probably not, are we? For whatever reason, I don't know if it could be just the fallen nature of ourselves in this world, I just noticed it seems to be so much easier to speak negatively, disparagingly about other people. And if we're not careful, if we're not intentional, this can easily become our default mode. And what literally has to happen is that you and I have to catch ourselves whenever we're about to speak the negative and simply decide, nope, I'm not going to say that. And I'll be honest with you, be careful of those who are around you, because they'll wonder, but usually it requires having a little conversation with yourself and saying, I really want to say that because I'd like to get a jab in if I could, or I'd like to, justify myself or whatever, but then you say, nope, I'm not going to speak that way. It's probably why the psalmist said in Psalm 141, notice he says, set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. So I want to give you, just along with our think before you speak filter, another excellent filter would be to think to yourself, when you're about ready to speak, If Jesus was here right now, would I be comfortable saying this in front of him? And I say that not because you say, well, I wouldn't want to say it because I'd be afraid of his wrath. But I wouldn't want to say it because I wouldn't want to disappoint him in how I was honoring or living my life. Remember back in James chapter 1, we looked at that a few weeks ago. James says, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, they deceive themselves and their religion is worthless. So it should become our goal that we would only speak what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it would benefit those who are listening. In other words, we've got to take that first step and we've got to literally stop the negative. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths. Well, you can imagine what step two is. We need to make sure that we speak the positive, that we speak the positive. Now, again, it's amazing why this can be such a challenge. One of my love languages, and if you've ever studied those, you know there's five different love languages, but one of the love languages is words of affirmation. That's one of my love languages, and so I should come by that naturally, and yet what I've discovered is I still have to work on it. I have to be intentional about it. But it has an amazing effect in the lives of others. I like the quote that I've included in your sermon notes from William Arthur Ward, who said, "Flatter me, and I may not believe you. Criticize me, and I may not like you. Ignore me, and I may not forgive you. But encourage me, and I will not forget you." That's the power of encouragement. It's talked about in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, where it says, "Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up." I want you to think about your presence in different settings. When you walk into a room, do you bring sunshine or gloom when you walk into a room? Now, if you tend to be a more negative person, don't say, "Well, I'm just a worrier," or "I was just born that way," or "It's my nature to be depressed." I want to remind you that God is in the personality changing business. The Bible says he wants you to be conformed to the likeness of his son. He says you can change. You can become known for your encouraging words. And so I just encourage you, ask God to help you develop a healthy thought life. Immerse yourself in his word. Pray about it. And over time, you'll discover that you can control the way you think, choosing to focus on godly thoughts, and then reject others, and that's ultimately going to change what you say. Now, I've already mentioned this, but life's hard. Life is full of problems, and we need to deal with them. But if we aren't careful, all we can see are problems sometimes. And so there are so many good things that we can also focus on. So maybe sometimes instead of catching people being bad, maybe we should start trying to catch some people being good, to start to say, how can I make my words a fountain in life, of life? How can I become an encourager? Proverbs 16, verse 24, notice what it says. "Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, healing to the bones." Now let's just face it, if you're a Christ follower today, it's even more important, I think, for you to have encouragement in your life. In fact, all of us who are Christ followers, we need encouragement because following Christ is not the easy road. And it requires perseverance. I hope you know that one of the reasons why we get together every week is not just so that you can check off another thing on your spiritual to-do list. Church, got that done. One of the reasons why we come together is so that we can be encouraged by each other to hang in there, to stay with this. See, I want to just tell you right up front. Now, sometimes we look like it, but this is not a church full of perfect people. Does anybody here have at least one problem they're facing right now? Anybody have at least one problem? Every hand's going to go up. Because we've all got challenges. We walk in here on Sunday morning, and I know there's people that are looking at trying to find a job. There's people that are dealing with the sickness of a loved one, maybe even the death of a loved one, interpersonal relationships with spouse or kids or other family members. And life's just hard when you're a follower of Christ, and sometimes you want to give up. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, the writer really addresses some pretty tough stuff. He says, "See to it that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." Why was he sharing that? Because he was saying that's a possibility for people that follow Christ to get discouraged. And so he says, that's why you guys need to encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Life can get hard, can't it? I mean, yes. In fact, I heard someone say something one time, and it was not very encouraging at all. What they said to me was, you know, when you really look at life, you're probably going to find yourself in one of three places in life. You're either going into a crisis, you're in the middle of a crisis, or you're coming out of a crisis. Right? I'm like, wow, man, I feel better. I mean, what we need to acknowledge is, you know, I've got problems, you've got problems, all God's children's got problems. And when we get some encouragement, it can make a lot of difference. Pastor and author Max Licato said he discovered the importance of encouragement in a half Ironman triathlon. Now, that's crazy even to do a half Ironman triathlon. But he said that after a 1.5-mile swim and a 56-mile bike ride, he said, "I didn't have much energy left for the 13.1-mile run." And then he said, "Neither did the fellow jogging next to me." He said, "I asked him how he was doing and soon regretted posing that question, because the guy said, 'Man, this stinks. This race is the dumbest decision I've ever made.'" Max said he had more complaints than a taxpayer at the IRS. And he said, "My response to him was, 'Goodbye.' He said, 'I knew if I listened long, I'd start agreeing with him.' He says, 'Next, I caught up with a 66-year-old grandmother. And her tone was just the opposite. She said, 'You'll finish this.' She encouraged, 'You know, it's hot, but at least it's not raining. One step at a time. Don't forget to hydrate. Stay in there.'" He said he ran next to her until his heart was lifted, but his legs were aching. And so he finally had to slow down, and she waved and kept going. But at least he felt encouraged to go on. And I want to remind you, every Sunday when we walk in, your day might be going great, but I guarantee there's people around you that are having a hard time. And you know, one of the statements that I've heard Pastor Dave say since he's been here, and I hope we get this, it's okay for you to be where you are. If you're struggling, if you got issues, it's okay for you to be where you are. But I also want to say, as a church, we'd want to say, hey, we also love you so much that we wouldn't want to leave you there. We would want to encourage you. We'd want to help you. We'd want to inspire you as much as we can. So let me give you just some, what I would call some simple ways to encourage. And you guys could come up with a list, maybe even twice this long, but here just some reminder because of where I'm going to lead you this morning. Some simple ways to encourage. Number one, whenever an encouraging thought comes to mind, share it. I mean, all of us probably have had those moments where we've had something we could say positive and we either let the moment pass or we say, that's not that important. It's important. Share it. Share it before it's gone. Speak those words. Make the phone call that you need to make. Send the text. Do it now. Just do it. Number two, when you see someone making positive changes in their life, affirm them. Say, hey, I appreciate what you're doing. I can see the change in you. That's a great encouragement. Number three, tell others how they've encouraged you. I mean, if you've received encouragement from others, let them know. Hey, that really was an encouragement to me. It's going to remind you of that encouragement, and it's going to let them know, hey, we need to keep the encouragement coming. Number four, write someone a note of encouragement. I don't know how many times. In fact, just this last week, my mom and dad, they used to live up the road in Denver. We saw them a couple weeks ago, but they took the time to jot a little note of encouragement, and I thought, wow, it was just kind of a little spark in my week. And then number five, when you introduce someone, just add a few words of praise. I have a friend of mine that when I introduce him to someone else, literally I could say this, and it wouldn't cost hardly anything extra. But I could just say, hey, here's my friend Bill. Bill has a great servant's heart. What's that going to do? It's going to help make a connect with that one person and the other. Simple, and yet very, very powerful. What I'd encourage you to start doing is learn to become more self-aware and listen to what you're saying. And be sure to make more positive comments than negative ones. In fact, I saw this a couple of weeks ago. I want to show you. Here's a young man who's way ahead of his years of understanding as he encourages us to do just that. Speak words of encouragement. He's got 20 things we ought to be saying.
20 things we should say more often. Number 20, thank you. And not just on Thanksgiving, every day. Number 19, excuse me. Number 18, here's a surprise corn dog that I bought you because you're my friend. There'll be more corn dogs, more happy people. This is a good idea. Corn dog for you, corn dog for you, corn dog for you. Number 17, I'm sorry. Number 16, I forgive you. Number 15, you can do it! But don't say it if it's something you can't do. Number 14, another thing that we should say more often, I have barbecue sauce on my shirt too. Before you say something about the barbecue sauce on somebody else's shirt, take a look at the barbecue sauce on your own shirt. Number 13, please. Number 12, everything is going to be okay. Number 11, oh, you got me a corn dog too? You shouldn't have, buddy. Number 10, I don't know. I know a lot of people who need to say that. My sister. Number 9. You're so awesome, I named my dog after you.
Wait. That could hurt someone's feelings.
I mean boat. I named my boat after you. Wait, you even have a boat? You're so awesome, I legally changed my name to yours.
Wait, that's super creepy.
Just tell people they're awesome and mean it. Number 8. Hello, person that I never met before. Here's a high five. Number 7. My sports team is not always the best sports team. It takes a big man to say that. Number 6. Nothing. Sometimes that's the best thing you can say. Number 5. That doesn't mean anything, but it's just really funny. Number 4. I disagree with you, but I still like you as a person who is a human being, and I'll treat you like that. Because if I didn't, it would make everything bad, and that's what lots of people do in this lane. Whew, I need a water break, y'all. It's okay to disagree, but it's not okay to be mean. Number 3, sometimes you just gotta scream. Number 2, life is tough, but so are you. Sometimes we all need to be reminded to keep going. Number 1, something nice, anything. If you can't think of anything nice to say, you're not thinking hard enough. So what about you? What do you think people should say more often? Oh, and I got a bonus one for you. Something that we should say more often? Let's dance.
All right, you got at least some examples to take away with you, because right now what I want to offer you is what I would call the encouragement challenge. How are you going to use your words these next week? And I want you just to start in a simple way. Some of you here do this great already. Some of you just need to kind of work it in. But just ask yourself this question. How can I encourage at least one person every day? Honestly, that's setting the bar kind of low, isn't it? But I think if we would just start there, so I don't want you walking away, oh, that was overwhelming. No, I think I could find a way to encourage at least one person every day. Spouse, maybe, child, friend, coworker, the people that you work with. Anyone can do this if they'll use their words the right way. Barbara Glantz is an author and a professional speaker who travels all over the world speaking to groups about customer service and about how to make a difference and create meaningful experiences for customers that will make them want to come back. So she talks in a lot of corporations. One time she had a session for a large supermarket chain where she had the opportunity to speak to a crowd of about 3,000 frontline service people, from truck drivers to cashiers, from baggers to produce people, from stockers to all others that worked in the store. And she gave them this assignment in her speech. She said, I want you to go home tonight and think about something that you can do for your customers to make them feel special. A memory that will want them, make them want to come back and shop at your store again. Well, sometime later, she received a phone call from a 19-year-old young man with Down syndrome whose name was Johnny. And Johnny was a bagger at one of the supermarkets in that chain, and he wanted to tell her his story. He said, I liked what you talked about, but I didn't think I could do anything special for the customers. After all, I'm just a bagger. He said, and then I had this idea. He decided that every night when he came home from work, he would find a thought for the day, some words that would encourage people. And he said, if I can't find something I like, I make something up. When Johnny had a good saying, his dad helped him enter that thought for the day on a page on the computer 6 times over, and then they would print off about 50 pages. Johnny then cut out each quote. He signed his name on the back of every one of them, and then he said, I put them in a paper bag that I keep beside me at work. And when I finish bagging someone's groceries, I put my thought for the day in the bag, and I say, thanks for shopping with us. Here was a young man with a job that most people would say is not important, deciding to make it important by creating an encouraging experience for his customers. About a month later, the store manager called Barbara and said, you're not going to believe what happened today. When I was making my rounds, I got to the front where the cashiers are. I found that the line at Johnny's checkout was 3 times longer than anyone else's. It went all the way down the frozen food aisle. She said, I was concerned, so I announced, get more cashiers out here, get more lanes open. All the while, I'm trying to get people to move to other lanes, but no one would move. They all said, no, that's okay. We want to be in Johnny's lane because we want to get his thought for the day. The store manager continued, it was a joy to watch Johnny delight the customers. One woman came up and grabbed my arm and said, you know, I used to shop at your store only about once a week, but now I come in every time I go by because I want to get Johnny's thought for the day. Now, that's a great example of how really we are all more hungry for encouragement than we might even think we are. Everyone needs encouragement, and we need to be givers of it. Do you think the world would be better for it or worse if we became encouragers? I had a great experience with this just this last week. I ran through the drive-thru at Taco Bell over here on Research. And the little gal at the counter, or the window there, I drove up and she said, how are you today? And I said, never better. And I said, and how are you? And she said, wonderful. And then she said, high five. And I high-fived her right there, and she gave me a big smile. And when I left, she said, have a wonderful day. And I thought to myself, I said, you know what? If I knew she was working, I'd want to go through her line, because I left there feeling a little bit more encouraged. See, it is such an incredible blessing when we use our words to encourage others. All of us here today need to make sure that our mouth would be at home on the range, where seldom is heard a discouraging word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for speaking such incredible words of encouragement to us, giving us hope in the midst of sometimes a difficult and even dark world. Father, I pray that you would help us to encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching, so that none of us here would have our hearts hardened by sin's deceitfulness, but that we would stay connected to you and to each other. I pray that this would become a place of encouragement where we can walk in and say we're having a rough day, because we're going to have rough days. But that would be a place where we could also be encouraged to hang in there, to stay with it, to press on. So, Father, I pray that your encouragement to us would lead us to be an encouragement to others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.